I cannot believe that we're this far. Here we are in the last session in this mini course. In many ways, we're saving some of the best material for the last session here. So especially if you are a serious minister, leader, and want to create a movement of leading in small groups, the management issue is critical.
The Bible study in some ways is the easy part if you do this management part.
And correct.
Because people are so different, no group is ever the same. There's always a management issue, and so we're going to go over some of the things that you can do.
Perfect.
So, first of all, you might want a coordinator. Now, this could be the Bible study leader as well, or, in my case, it was often my wife who gravitated towards these kinds of things, where she left the sort of the teaching part and leading the study to me.
Right.
So, but it might be someone in your group, it might be you, it doesn't matter. But the kinds of things that a coordinator keeps track of is the schedule. Maybe you meet every Friday, but then, half the group can't meet that Friday.
That's
and somebody
right.
has to, text or email and try to figure out, in logistics as to where, what participants, who's
right.
on the list, keeping
right.
everyone informed. Maybe there's a prayer, email that goes around because one of the group members is in the hospital. So there's all these kinds of, or food, if you're going to have food at your meeting, how are we going to do that? What are we going to bring? Who's going to bring what? I mean, there's
right.
Now, this is not my forte, so I don't even know what all the things are.
And that is not his forte. I mean, like if we go travel internationally or visit people on that, I feel like this goes to me sometimes.
So, but you don't have to be good at it because someone in the group is. And if you're not very good at it and you're trying to make it happen, you'll make such a mess of it that the person that really knows what they're doing will step to the front. But I think it's needed.
Good.
Okay, the Bible study leader. I think when I started out my ministry, I had this sort of pie in the sky notion that we'll all just be here and we'll just all lead the Bible study together. And,
right.
I'm no better than you. And
we're all comrades.
We're all comrades together, learning the Bible and taking our turns.
Right.
And sometimes we would take turns. Okay, Bob, it's your turn to lead.
Mm-hmm.
And, Bob wasn't a leader.
Right.
And it just stressed him out. And
yeah.
it didn't go well. It didn't go well for Bob. It didn't go well for the people. So, you need somebody that steps to the front and says, look, I'm going to take on this. That doesn't, we'll talk about what a leader does.
Right.
But you still need a leader. I think another thing that you really have to set up ahead of time if you're going to do a Bible study, and often I didn't do that either.
Right.
I just did a Bible study, which means that I would do things with the assumption of how I do it, but that doesn't
right.
mean everyone else knew what my assumptions were.
And on this too, it's better to preempt this than to do it in real time. It's better to actually say, okay, so we're going to do a Bible study. Let's talk about rules of engagement.
Right.
And if people don't even think about it, then you can use these rules of engagement to help manage. But if you lay them, let's say 3 weeks or a month or 2 months after problems, and then you add a rule.
Right.
I know why they did that. They did that for. You remember stories where it's like you had to. These rules have come honestly to us.
That's right.
These are not rules that we read in the book. This is in books too, but in a lot of ways, the honest of doing this for 30 years.
Right.
But you want to do it before you start the group.
In some ways, that's true with parenting or anything. That if you lay out the rules ahead of time, then when someone breaks the rules, it's easier to apply discipline.
Nothing personal.
But if you're making up the rules as you go, then it feels...
They made that rule for me.
I know. All right. So number one. You need a safe place. If you want people to share anything, it has to be a safe place, and a place of confidentiality, that if someone shares something, that they don't hear what they shared, you know, in the coffee shop next day by someone who was not there.
Right.
That's a good way to cut down any sharing.
And would you recommend that people sign that a confidentiality agreement?
Yeah, why not? I mean, if you really want people to, because let's face it, people are gossips. It's so easy to gossip. It's so easy, especially when you have something really cool or something interesting.
Yeah,
or something.
The Bible does talk about gossip like a morsel.
Yeah, it's just, you can't just eat one, right? It's just, so I think signing is a good way to say, we're serious about this.
Right. And it would communicate to the group a next level of safety.
Right.
It would.
Number two, honor brainstorm questions. What do we mean by this?
Well, you know, a lot of times ideas come up where somebody has a really good idea, and then somebody who doesn't like canoeing says, I don't want to do canoeing.
No,
it could be that they don't want to do canoeing, but that if someone, and often it's that one person who never says anything and then gets shot down, and then when they get shot down, it's over. And it creates, so if the rules of engagement, we want, and then maybe you could tell a story. I often do that. I'll tell like some, like maybe one of you wants to go skydiving. You know, they're all like skydiving. None of us want to go skydiving, you know. But, you know, and let's say somebody here really wants to do it, and if you suggest it, let's not all go skydiving. You know, then you make it a
crazy
joke. You're crazy. No, but we want crazy ideas because you never know what
comes
out
of
that.
And it's not just things like that. It's also brainstorming is when you're brainstorming the verse, like when people are trying to say what it means.
Right.
So you have one guy who really knows his stuff, and he knows what it means, and you've got a new person who's like making their best guess.
Right.
And if the person making their best guess constantly gets shot down by the person that everyone knows,
Just a new believer.
They're not going to share anything. Right. They're never going to take a chance. So
you
have to have this sense, you know, when are we sort of brainstorming and when are we sort of honing in on what the thing is? So in the beginning, you know, as a leader, allow a little brainstorming. Allow people to say something that might not be quite right, but, you know, that's an interesting point.
So really, we're talking brainstorming about the discussion that I was brainstorming about what the group might do.
Yeah.
Brainstorming on how to manage the group.
Right, right.
Brainstorming on how to, you know, there always seems to be some therapy going on, even though we're going to talk about that later.
Right, right, right.
But brainstorming on ideas and just having a curious,
curious
group.
So if someone, if someone came to the group and said, I really would like all your advice on what to do in this marriage situation that I'm facing.
Right.
And then someone says something that's, you know, maybe a bit off the wall.
Right.
Then the leader could either shut that down and go, well, that isn't going to work. I've had experience. Or he could just say, you know, that's an interesting thought. Any other thoughts?
Right.
Because generally the right stuff bubbles to the surface and the things that weren't right sort of drift away.
And I think be careful about the duty language. Oh, I know what you should do now.
Yeah.
You know, send her roses today.
Yeah.
Oh, today. Don't wait till tomorrow.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
I sent her roses yesterday. But I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, what is it going to...
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Number three, no unsolicited
advice. I just actually talked about unsolicited. You should send roses. That would be the
right. It's you know, because things will come up, and they'll share. Let's say someone shares about the difficulty they're going through in their marriage, and then all the helps people will jump to the rescue, and people sometimes just need to share.
Right.
And not always get fixed and not always have people... And, you know, who are you to tell someone else what to do? Let's say you had someone shares something and it's exactly what you've gone through. If you're going to share it all, it would really best to preface it with, hey, I went through an experience. If you'd like, I could share it.
Right.
Like, get permission to give advice rather... Because most people... do not do well with unsolicited advice.
So what is unsolicited advice? Is it taking
the role of I'm your father or mother.
Yeah.
Without someone's permission.
Right.
It's literally giving people advice without them asking or giving you permission to do it. It's unsolicited.
Right.
I didn't
come
and ask for it, and now here you are getting it.
And the danger that I've noticed is for some people receive unsolicited advice very well.
Right.
Other people do not.
No.
And it seems like if you really have a hard time with your father or mother,
right.
and then a friend starts taking that role,
sometimes the walls are put up,
right.
or there's a bad boss experience or a bad teacher experience. So unsolicited advice is a dangerous thing to get into.
Yeah, and you know, from a coaching perspective, the more you can ask questions to get them to come up with their own advice, the more likely they're able to follow it.
That's very good. Very good stuff here.
All right. Everyone gets a chance to say something. So this is important, and it requires some management, because if you have a group of 10 people, there's going to be 3 that do a lot of talking, and there's going to be 3 that don't do any talking, and then there's going to be the rest who sort of do a little bit of talking.
Correct.
And as a manager of the group, you especially want those people who never do any talking. A lot of times they're thinkers and they have a lot of good stuff to say, but they're going to need a stage.
Yeah.
Where the talker doesn't need a stage, he just grabs the microphone and they, you know, say whatever they want to say. So trying to give everyone a chance to say something, and the easiest is just to go around the room.
Yeah.
You know, Bob, what do you think? Helen, what do you think? And you just go around the room. Number 5, you might put this rule, especially if the group is larger and if you've got some real talkers that sort of dominate the 2-minute rule. A lot can be said in 2 minutes.
Yes. Actually, it helps the talkers organize what they're going to say.
Right.
And it helps those who don't talk to know, okay, I'm expected 2 minutes, I can handle that.
Yes.
It is a beautiful rule.
Right.
Beautiful rule.
6, anger has no place in the group. So never let things get to such a degree where people are in conflict. If they are, if they start arguing and you can see the heat going up, it's like, you know, why don't we let this go? We have a lot of strong opinions here, and let's just move on to something.
And there are topics that breed anger.
Yeah.
Politics is one of them.
Yeah.
Or controversial Christian doctrines.
Yeah.
You know, you can divide a group in a hurry by talking about baptism if you know that one group or one section of the group that you're in is more infant baptism than the other is adult baptism.
Right.
And, you know, and you can, or the end times, you can be a leader who
wedges quickly and creates anger
in
groups.
And, you know, when people are, you know, discussing things, some people are incredibly competitive, and once it gets to that sort of competitive slot where now it's just a game where I want to win and you want to win, and we're not even seeking truth anymore.
Right.
Then, and as a leader, you have to sort of gauge that. Are we drifting into this competitive thing where we're really just using the rest of the people as our judges and our jury? And we're trying to prove to them that we're right.
Well, and also, too, have you noticed the passive aggressive? Like
there's the discussion that's being discussed, but then there's a passive aggressive anger.
Yeah, Bob,
stuff.
You know, you're right. You're always right. You're so educated, and you really know your stuff. So that sarcasm.
Yeah, there's all of those things that come in there are examples.
I've also noticed, too, where the leader, if they're not aware of it, that can get out of control in a hurry.
Yes.
So anger is the obvious, but there's the passive, and just see that ahead of time. How do you address that? How have you addressed that when you see it bubbling up early on?
Well, I think the easiest is to get off the topic, right? They're playing tennis, and they're hitting the ball real hard at each other, and then you just take the ball away.
Because you're the leader.
And then they get mad at you.
I think, you can do that. You know, I think we've talked enough about this particular question, and I think let's move on to question 4.
Right.
So that's one way.
One of the things that I've learned over the year is to get to that point, and it takes a little, experience where, so we have a Bible study, and then there's certain people who are going to bring up the political angle.
Right.
You know, and then if they don't, so you almost have to make that
would not passive aggressive, but make it fun. Okay, George, you know,
but if you make it in a way that's fun, and then everybody laughs about it, but it's out of the way, right, as opposed to people really start. And again, those are all
takes experience. On that one, I suppose.
Number seven, time schedule will be kept. So it's important. You know, if your Bible study is an hour and a half, keep it to an hour and a half. Now, what happens is after an hour and a half on this particular night, some really good conversation is happening, so you let it go 2 hours, or you let it go 2.5 hours, and everyone had fun, and it was awesome, and it was great, and everyone thought the extra hour was definitely worth it. But the next week, three of them are going to go, well, you know, you might go long again, and then they stay away. So it's just knowing, even if it's a good, it's been a good time or not, it doesn't matter. Once people know and are sure of what the time is, then they'll make a commitment to come every time.
You know, if you're planting a house church that starts out as a group and you're hoping it can become a church, that this becomes so important. People will make a decision, even if they love everything about your Bible study, your house church, your church, everything about it, except one thing, if it goes too long, people will superficially, and then you can say to yourself, well, if that, they're that superficial, we don't want them. Or you can say, just end on time.
All right, then an agenda, and this is just, you can have any agenda you want, but here's like a sample one. You might, you know, people come together, they meet at first, there's a little bit of talking, they haven't seen each other in a week or two. You might have a formal icebreaker, some little game that you play, or a question that's real interesting. You know, what's the most exciting thing you did this past week, or whatever. It can be almost anything. And then the Bible study, where you're actually looking at the Word or some book
or
whatever it is
you're doing.
And 30 minutes. It could be an hour. You can decide how many how much time you want to give it to anything. And then you might go with some accountability questions. How's your walk with God going? How's your family walk with God going? Or someone said, you know, hold me accountable for losing weight. Well, what happened this week? And whatever that might be. And then some prayer. Now, these are just suggestions, but having a little bit of an agenda where you know what you're sort of aiming at and then how much time you're going to give that, and then having people know that that's how much time we're giving to this.
So do you recommend that the leader sets the agenda and then just announces it, or do you, how do you?
No,
like,
I think you could do it. By say, hey, here's I think a leader shouldn't just say, so what shall we do? And it's a tabula rasa thing. I think a leader should spend time thinking carefully about what he thinks would be best. He puts it out there and goes, here's what I was thinking. What do you guys think? And you can freely eliminate or add or whatever you want to do and change the numbers. But at least people have something to go off from, rather than if you start with nothing. You go all over the place, and then you end up in conflict and all of those things. It's easier for people to go off from something.
So even there, you recommend like getting a an agreement on what the agenda is before you launch into like 1 week is this, and the next week is that. Why do you feel so important to have a consistent, like I've seen over the years and made this mistake, so I'm curious what you think. It's where all of a sudden I felt like the Holy Spirit in number two of the agenda. So all of a sudden that goes long, and all of a sudden we have less Bible study. You know, how do you...
Well, and, that, and that's going to happen. And I think, you know, it's just like a church service. That, you know, sometimes you have baptisms and communion and all of that, and they're all in one service. And now it's going to go half an hour longer. Now, some say, well, whatever, it's important. Let's just go a half an hour longer. But if people don't know we're going to go a half an hour, after that time when it should end, people are not listening. They're looking at their clocks. Why? Because people have habit.
I remember in my first church, confession time, so we're not telling you when. I had spent hours and time, and I got a really, I felt, amazing group that we were meeting, and one of the nights, you know, I just went an hour longer,
And I thought it was such an important topic, and all of these things. I was, you know, in my 20s, early 20s, and I noticed that next week there was half the attendance.
Right.
You know, and right. I was defeated because I felt like, you know, yeah. I had really studied hard.
Right.
It was a, yeah. you know, and then one of the men of the church said to me, you know, why you did that is because you were an hour longer.
Right.
And I said, well, what do I do? And he said, well, if you call everybody up and apologize and then restart it, it could really help. So my pride was hurt. So I didn't want to do it. But after a while, I did. I called everybody up and apologized. And the next week, we had the attendance again. And I made sure that it was done on the time. And, you know, that was a good for a young right. minister. That mentor was right. spot on.
Right.
And I needed to learn that.
Right. And I think, you know, one of the things that a leader needs to do is keep things moving. Because you can get bogged down anywhere.
Oh.
And then you don't get to the agenda or you go longer.
Right.
So having an idea yourself, and if people get into this habit, they'll help you keep the agenda. If they don't know what the agenda is,
they won't.
Then they can't help you.
That's very good.
Okay, so we need a leader, okay? But what does a leader do? A leader does not, like, dominate the whole mm-hmm. thing. A leader creates a stage for the participants to shine. A leader is not the star. The leader helps the members become stars.
Right.
So if you're the answer man, you're the teacher, you're the pastor, that's what a sermon is.
Right.
But a Bible study is more, you know, where people have a chance to say things, to ask questions, and to, you know, step out of their own comfort zone.
Right.
Rather than, you know, the leader, yeah, you're capable. You could do all kinds of things. But you're really trying to help the members do a better job. Make sure everyone shares, not just a few. That's okay. The default setting. If you go camping with a bunch of people, friends and so on, you're all sitting around the fire, you'll notice that in the end, it's four people making all the jokes, saying most everything else, and everyone else is just listening.
Wow. Very good.
The leader helps the conversation go deeper. So mm-hmm. people are at this level, but you're looking for little tells.
Right.
You know, so, and we'll talk about those in a minute.
Right.
Of there might be something, there might be some gold in there if we just dig a little deeper.
Okay.
And I mentioned this, keeps things moving. Deals with differing personalities of the group, and we'll talk about that too.
You know, we're going to end this and have another one here because we're at the 20-minute mark.
Okay,
alrighty. All right. And what I find fascinating about this is leadership stuff that if you don't put it into practice early, it's almost like a group will disintegrate in a hurry.
Yeah.
So next time we'll take the next step and take this even further.
All right.